Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
The big news, of course.
Sad news.
Last night, sad news. Patrick Mahomes injured, the reigning MVP, my pick to defend his title as MVP, although he was not the front runner at this point. But then they did get good news. Last night, they do a quarterback sneak. His kneecap is dislocated. We didn't know that at the time, but an MRI today said that it was a dislocated right kneecap. And they're thinking, you know, optimistically that he would miss 3 weeks. But here's the deal. They have four games, Rob, through November 18th, and then they have a bye week. So I'm going to, if everything goes according, you know, his rehab goes according to plan and he's comes together okay, I would assume that he would return after the bye week.
I agree. It wouldn't make any sense to rush him back, and then there's a bye week. Give him that extra, the fourth game off, and then the bye week, right? That's 5 weeks.
That
only makes sense. Anything else to me would be crazy. I know you want him in there. He's that kind of guy. If you can get him in a game and win a game instead of, you know, being questionable of whether or not you can win, I think you got to look out for not only – the end of the season, Chris, but his long-term health,
no
too.
Doubt.
Can't do it. You can't do it.
And I do think there is, if there's one piece of, you know, light at the end of the tunnel, I guess, it is that ankle. Now, I know it wasn't the worst injury in the world, but clearly his ankle was bothering him a little bit the last few weeks. And that should be able to heal, too. So instead of playing at what I guess maybe 90%, 85%, whatever he was, when he comes back, if the knee heals properly, you would think you'll get him at 100% and, you know, you'll be good to go from there. The question is this, Rob. Do you think that the Kansas City Chiefs, because if he misses four games, and here's who they play, the Packers, I think that's an L. The Vikings, probably an L.
Right.
The Titans, winnable, but we'll see. Could lose that. And then the Chargers. Now, the Chargers have looked bad. But I think without Patrick Mahomes, you'd have to give them the advantage. They could very easily go 0-4.
I agree with that. I think
they will. They could win two.
They could be 1-3 or something and win one of those. But I agree with you. It's a tough part of the schedule. And without having your quarterback, it's going to change things. Doesn't mean that 100% you're going to lose every single game, so I'm not buying into that.
Right.
But it will be a tough road. But you'd rather wait it out.
No question.
And make sure he's right. The last thing you want is to put him out there and then there's an issue. And then he has some other issue or he has a setback or you know what I mean? He compounds the injury.
I think they understand that. And there's no way they're going to put him out there before he's ready to come back. I think they probably go 1-3. They'll probably find a way to win one of those games. And I think Matt Moore is the backup. He actually played okay last night. Threw the 57-yard touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill. And they look good. They bounced back from two straight losses to beat Denver, which had actually been playing well.
I don't know
what happened to Denver.
You know what? I stayed away from that game because people were just talking about it from the standpoint of Denver had been playing well. It's a rivalry game, right? And so I got talked out of it like it's going to be closer than it was, and that there was really no game there.
No. And the good thing for Kansas City, Rob, is that the division is not tough this year. Now, will the Chargers turn it around? Maybe. But Denver, saw last night, doesn't look good. Oakland is, you know, mediocre, probably, right? Okay, they're average. And the Chargers look bad right now. Again, we'll see if they bounce back. But that will help the Chiefs. So I do think, Rob, that they will get in the playoffs. Now, the question early on was, would they be able to outlast New England for the home field advantage in the playoffs, or get a bye, you know, in the first week? I don't think they're getting a bye. I think they're going to make the playoffs. And I give them a shot, but I think that's where they've been hurt, is that they should get in the playoffs, but it won't be with a bye. And they'll have a tough road to hoe when they do get to the playoffs.
I think they'll be hurt.
They'll make the playoffs?
I don't know. At this point, I don't know, because 5 weeks away, what does he
if
come back?
If they go 0-4, they're 5-6 when he comes back.
Right.
If, you know, assuming he gets back after the bye. But look at the Raiders are 3-2. And the Chargers are 2-4, and Denver's 2-5.
Right. No, I'm just saying him being hurt just changes a lot for that team. Because I can't trust their defense. I know they played well against Denver, but I'm not going to take that to the bank. Their defense has been porous, right, and been very bad.
It's been
horrible. Talked about it.
No
that,
doubt.
That they can't win if they play defense like that, even with – a star stud quarterback. You just can't give it up like that.
So if he, let's say you're right, and maybe they don't even make the playoffs, or they do squeak in, and you know, but they just can't get it rolling again, and they're not a threat to get to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Does this make the Patriots a lock? You know, assuming they stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, but you don't know. I don't know. Does Houston go up to Foxborough the way Deshaun Watson's played this year? You know what I mean?
I think Houston, Rob, would be the only team I can look at. Now, I think a few people have mentioned Indianapolis. The only team I can look at in the AFC outside of Kansas City as having a shot at beating New England is Houston. And I wouldn't have said that a few weeks ago, because we've seen them, you know, falter in the big moments so many times. But I do believe in Deshaun Watson. They're the only team I would give a shot.
Yeah, no, I mean,
believe in Baltimore, Buffalo. I know you like Buffalo,
but on paper, yes, I agree with you on paper. You never know. I mean, I agree.
I know, barring, you know, right, of course, you know, Sacramento could win the NBA title. You never know. You know, barring the miracle.
Right, right.
I'm just saying. Do you really see, I like Buffalo. They've actually looked good. There's no way I see them beating New England in a playoff game.
It's just the same, you know, this heightens the Tom Brady LOAT conversation that I've been having, is that things just work out for that guy.
Or the GOAT for the other 7 billion people on the planet or whatever it is, it heightens the GOAT conversation.
Yeah, both.
He's going to be the 10 Super Bowls, Rob. Good chance of it, I should say.
Yeah, it's a good chance.
I'm not writing off the Chiefs. But he could be the 10 Super Bowls.
A lot of things have gone his way, and good for him. Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
All right, we do have Steven Jackson with the new podcast, All the Smoke. It premieres Monday, October 21st, and new episodes will be released every Thursday in video and audio formats on the new Showtime Basketball YouTube channel and on other major podcast platforms. Steven, what's happening,
up,
brother?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Doing great. We're good, man. One big question about the podcast. Can I get a contact high just by listening to it?
Nah, you know, one thing about it, you know, we're trying to start this thing off right. You know, we don't want to just come off as two guys getting high and just saying crazy stuff. Like a lot of people respect what we say, and a lot of people expect to get the real from us and not the politically correct answer. So we want to continue to give our audience what they expected from us, and not just it all to be about smoking.
You know what? That's a good idea. You guys
like
have
that
stuff to say,
right?
And it would change the way people looked at you. I think you did the right thing.
Yeah, because you know, smoking. Everybody know we smoking. Smoking is definitely a part of our show, but we don't want that to be what our show is about. So we're not starting off smoking on the show. obviously we plan on working that in down the line, but we want this show to be a great show and a respected show. And we want to make y'all proud, too. Y'all two guys have paved the way for us, so we want to make y'all guys proud, too.
No doubt, well, man. We appreciate
thank you
that.
For that, man, yep. For sure. We had Matt on yesterday, and we asked him, you know, as an ex-player, and even us, you know, when you're critical of players, coaches, whoever, it can be challenging, especially for you guys because you played in the league, you have relationships with a lot of these guys, you're friends with a lot of them. Have you ever had a situation where you said something about a player or whatever and they came back at you? You know, I've never seen anything publicly, but maybe there was, but even privately where anybody came at you like, yo, man, we boys, why you say that or anything like that?
Well, I never dealt with it because, one, I think the guys that I'm cool with, you know, that I have relationships with, they know if I say something about them, it's not considered hate. It's considered it's considered coming from an honest place, and they know I love the game, and there's no way that I would be a real one or the person I am or a friend to you if I'm sugarcoating anything. So just like when the situation with KD, when he came out with the fake page, I killed him. What? I killed him. And right. he texted me about it, but he understood what I was saying. Like, there's no reason for you being one of the best players in the league to have a fake page, and right. he understood that. And so when I come off and say stuff about him, they know it's not hate because I've never been a hater. They know it's coming from me loving the game and me giving my honest opinion about it. And anytime I see something that I see the game is being disrespected or guys not approaching the game the right way, I'm gonna say something. And you know my famous line, Rob. Respect it or check it.
Yeah, no doubt. How about once you transition into this role from being a player, do you kind of see, I mean, it's still not different. It's still a little different. You're not covering a team per se, but the role of being a reporter, do you look at what guys have to do and what we've done over, you know, the years and have a little different, newfound respect for what it is that we have to do?
Well, Rob, I mean, I've been working around you guys for a couple of years now, so trust me, I pay attention. I learned a lot from you guys, and as I never thought I'd have my own show, but a lot of things come with having your own show. You have to study. You got to be prepared. You got to do things that you don't want to do, but in order to be successful, you got to do some things you don't want to do, and from watching you guys, from Whitlock to all the people that I've worked with, that I have so much respect for, I see how hard y'all work and the time y'all put into it. So if I want to be successful, it has to go the same way.
Now, you and Matt were both, I think, I never really heard anybody compare you when you were players, but you were similar. I mean, you both were role players and viewed as tough players, two of the toughest players in the league, defenders, winners, you know, like the type of players guys would want on their team. Did that play any role in you guys coming together for this show or what was it?
Well, I mean, that's part of it. I mean, both of us being guys that every time we had to step on the court, we felt like we had something to prove. That's a big part of it. We became real close. A lot of people don't know that my mom and his mom became real close when we got to go to state before Matt's mom passed. So me and Matt became like brothers too. So even since go to state time, we talk, we hang out, I go stay at his house. So we've always been brothers, and we have a lot of similarities. You know, we two guys that played on both ends of the ball. We two guys that were great teammates, ultimate teammates that I put ourselves in line for our teammates. So we have a lot of similarities, and we're both dedicated fathers. We got a lot of similarities, man. I just think that from the Golden State time to now, our bond has just grew.
How about a lot of the general managers, they're NBA preview and their thoughts on what's going to happen and whatnot came out, and overwhelmingly, the Clippers were picked 46% by the GMs to win the championship. What do you make of that and the Clippers and why people are so high on what they've done and the team they've put together?
Well, they did a great job. I think Kawhi Leonard, Kawhi and Paul George was unbelievable, but I think for the most part, that people around the game and such as us, we know that defense wins championships. And there's no reason for the Clippers not to be the best defensive team in the league. I'm sorry. You have Paul George, Patrick Beverley, Kawhi Leonard,
yep.
starting your defense off. I like Montrez. Zubac can be a defender around the rim and rebound. So I think this team could be – I even like Hartless coming off the bench. So I think this team could be a great – the They should be the best defensive team in the league. And as we know, defense wins championships. San Antonio would not have those championships if it wasn't for defense.
Steve, I understand why everybody's picking. I assume you're picking the Clippers to win it all. They look great.
I picked the Lakers.
Did that was my question, because I know Rob's gonna jump in here. I love the Clippers on paper, Steve, but I picked the Lakers too. I feel like LeBron, even in the preseason, I know it's preseason, you can't take it too seriously, but he looks so dialed in. There's no reason for him to play hard in the preseason, but he has been. And so I think he's on a mission. Obviously, AD, you mentioned defense. They probably won't be as good as the Clippers defensively, but they look like they'll be good defensively. They got crazy length. I got the Lakers over Philly and Giannis as the MVP. Who's your MVP? Tell us who you got in the finals and why you picked the Lakers.
Well, I got the Lakers to win. My MVP is Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis could have been MVP the last 4 years. If he was on a great team, he probably would have been MVP. Anthony Davis, if he stays healthy, he's Tim Duncan on steroids. He's Tim Duncan. He's an athletic Tim Duncan with a three-point ball. Can you imagine if Tim Duncan had that? So, I think he's never played with the most, the best all-around player in the game. He's never played with a dominant player like LeBron. So, I think that if AD can stay healthy with the best player in the world on his side, it's no way that they don't lose. They don't win this championship. I see Milwaukee coming out the East. Milwaukee got better. I don't know why people's not talking about Milwaukee. I know the Greek breathing got better, but I like the fact that they can play Greek at the three and play the two twins together at the four and five and have one stretch and one play inside. I think that's going to be real scary. And if any coach knows how to play two big guys together, it's Budenholzer, because he was there with Tim Duncan and David Robinson.
All right, there we go. Can't
That's
wait.
Good, man.
Man, congrats on the show, too, right. Really. We're looking forward to it.
And you said it, but Rob and I, we know you and Matt, and we know y'all going to keep it real. And I can't wait. I think it's going to be a great podcast, man.
Man, with y'all's support, we can't lose. Like I said, I appreciate y'all paving the way for us, man. We just try to make y'all proud.
All right,
brother.
Good luck.
We'll talk to you soon. Good
All
luck.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the most anticipated NBA season in years. Because now you don't have a big three out there. You don't have a team out there that's expected to roll over everybody else. Nobody knows who's getting to the finals.
Except me. A lot
of big twos. You got Kawhi and Paul George, of course, with the Clippers. You got LeBron and Anthony Davis with the Lakers. You've got Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid in Philadelphia. You've got Russell Westbrook and James Harden in Houston. You still have Steph Curry and Draymond Green in Golden State. I mean, we could go on and on. It's going to be a lot of fun. And one of the reasons it is going to be fun as well, Rob, is because we have one of the most touted rookies that we've ever seen. And I, of course, am talking about Zion Williamson, the number one pick in the draft, who is with the New Orleans Pelicans. But Zion had a knee injury recently, and it's not a severe injury. However, he is expected to be out for a few weeks.
That's a bummer to the season. If I was a Pelicans fan, just considered the way he's played, Chris, and the little hope that he's
23
given.
23 points a game. Am I right? 71%
just a bummer.
In the preseason.
It's just a bummer that, okay, he's starting the year on the injured list. And not only that, but now this is what? How many knee injuries is this? Three?
This is his third knee injury since, I guess, January. I can't remember exactly when it was that he injured himself at Duke. That was when he blew out his sneaker. I think it was in January. So that's, 9 months, 10 months. It's his third knee injury. He none of them have been really serious, but he had the one at Duke, and then he had one in knee soreness in the summer league, and now you've got this. And you wonder, I mean, look, we know guys who have put a lot of, they talked about Derrick Rose with that he jumped with such ferocity that it put a lot of torque on his knees. And Zion jumps, he's that type of guy. I mean, we know how big he is, and he's so explosive. Hopefully this is nothing. You would hate to see, you know, injuries derail his career, but it is the third knee injury in the last 10 months or so. So that does have to at least factor in to your thinking, your thought process. But I'll say this, Robin, of course it's a downer for New Orleans
it
fans.
It is, just,
really
just
for
the
start,
who are like all excited. You know, the start of the season, you just hate that your star player and the guy you bought tickets to want to go see isn't going to start the season. Not that it's the end of the world or he's not going to be the same player. We don't know, but it's just a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah, it is. Now, I will say they still have a lot of exciting young players. You still have Jrue Holiday. You still have Lonzo Ball, who, like him or not, he's a draw. And I actually do think he can become a really good player there. Brandon Ingram. So they've got, you know, Josh Hart. They got some nice young talent, and I think they still should be fun to watch even without Zion. But to your point, Rob, this is a franchise that injuries have been terrible for them. Terrible. Like, if you go back, like Anthony Davis, who was obviously there, he missed several games a year early in his career in New Orleans. Jrue Holiday has missed tons of games for them. Eric Gordon, who's now playing great for the Houston Rockets the last few years, he would miss tons of games when he played in New Orleans.
You're right.
DeMarcus Cousins, remember when he was the Twin Towers with AD? He got injured there. Like, I actually think they put together some really talented clubs over the last several years, but they were rarely on the court together. And now you've got Zion who, real talk, he hasn't played 20 straight games since he's been out of high school.
Wow. Is that what it is?
I mean, it's got to be. I'm reaching because okay. He got hurt two-thirds of the way through
season.
You know what I mean?
I just thought you had a number. You know what I mean? Like, for sure.
Gavin, can you look that up? But it's got to be around there. I mean, he played one game in the summer league, I believe.
Yeah.
He played, three or four preseason games? Four preseason games, I think. And so it's just, man, you hope that this kid doesn't have any serious injuries, right now, that his knee doesn't hinder him from playing. Because Rob, I think the guy is the truth. What are your thoughts on what he's going to be?
I don't know what he's going to be. I've seen it. I've seen all the dunks. I've seen the shooting 70% from the floor. You know what I mean?
71.
Oh, sorry, 71. I didn't mean to shortchange. I'm sorry, but you know what I'm saying. Like, I've seen all of it, and it's impressive. But I just don't know. Once you get out there with other players that are more on par with you, because I didn't look at college as like he was playing with fodder. Do you know what I mean, Chris? There weren't too many people who were out there who could play with him. Would you agree with me there?
Yeah, but it wasn't like he was older. I mean, he was
a freshman.
No,
I'm just talking about ability. I'm just talking about ability. Like, there are way more players in the NBA are going to have ability.
Of course.
And everybody in the NBA was a star somewhere. So it'll just be interesting to see. It looks like he's going to be a star, a big-time star in the NBA. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, it looks like it right away. I mean, and I agree with you. You know, the preseason is no reason to get too hyper over that. But what I do believe is that today's game is so spread out. The floor is so spread. And he's got a little handle. I'm not saying he's the best dribbler in the world. I'm not saying he's Kyrie Irving. He's got a little handle, little wiggle, little shake, got some moves. He can get to the paint, especially the way they play. They spread the floor. They push the ball in New Orleans. He will be able to get to the bucket. And they got other guys that you have to be concerned about if you're the defense. So he'll get to the rim, and then with his leaping ability, he's like Larry Johnson with Vince Carter's hops. I mean, that's really who he is, Rob.
Right.
And I think he can go over most NBA players, and those that he can't go over, he's shown an ability. He's shifty in the air. He can go around them in the air, and he can finish well at the rim. So I really think he could average roughly 20 points a game this year. There are some people who think they might make the playoffs. I'm not going to go that far yet.
The only problem with that, as much as people like the team and whatnot and the young guys, Chris, is it's easy to say they might make the playoffs, but when you look at the field,
right,
who's not making the playoffs is the problem that I have. If you take out OKC and you add the Lakers, who of the other seven teams is not making the playoffs? I don't see that.
Right. If there are some
Where's
thinking
the
Golden
slot,
State.
Right?
Something in Golden State, but I'm not going to go that far. I mean,
I think Golden State will be in the second four group in the eight. Do you know
right.
what I mean? In that second four, they're not going to be a top four seed. But I don't see. Denver's good. Are the Spurs not making the playoffs?
I think the teams are set, Rob. Like
I
you
do
said,
too.
Lakers, not in this order, but Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, Jazz, Rockets, Blazers, Spurs, Warriors. That's eight.
There's eight. And then
eight.
If you say, well, the Pelicans look good. Don't forget last year Sacramento was in the mix until the last
Dallas
2 weeks.
Dallas
is
going to
be competitive, and they've improved big time. So I'm just looking around going, who's falling out? Somebody big time would have to fall out. Is it, you know, the Spurs would have to fall out. Denver's not falling out. Portland's not falling out. Houston's not falling out. Who's falling out?
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. I mean, if they made the playoffs,
that would be unbelievable.
A monumental
yes.
achievement.
Out west.
Yeah, that would be incredible. But, yeah, I think Zion is the truth. And you just hope that this injury is nothing serious. Again, they've said it's not a severe knee injury, but he will miss a few weeks. And Rob, you know they're going to be, and they should be, they're going to be overly cautious, right? They're going to be overly cautious. You got to get this guy as much, you know, attention medically as he needs, as much rest as he needs, because this is your future. There are a lot of people that have said they think he needs to drop some weight.
Yeah, and I think Shannon's been a big one, right? Shannon's been out there saying he's a little, he needs to you know, get that
baby fat off.
He's young.
Barkley did that. I actually think Charles Barkley's a good comparison. I think he's like a new age version of Charles Barkley.
And Charles Barkley, for people who don't know, I know people see the fat Charles Barkley on TV or heavy set or whatever you want to call him, Chris, but he was a baller.
Yeah.
If you never
he was
saw,
all
right?
All-time great. I mean, I think a top 20, 25 player ever.
Yes.
He was awesome. And when he was in college, you know, of course, they called him the round mound of rebound.
Yep.
He was a little heavy, a little chunky. But you look at him in the NBA, he got that weight off. He was still stocky and all that. But he wasn't fat.
He could,
you know,
run
what I mean?
The floor.
Yep.
Lead the fast break.
Shoot.
I'm sorry. He was
pass.
He was great.
He could do it all. And see, I do think Zion may. I mean, that could be. I don't know if it's related to his knees or, you know what I mean. Like, but that's a lot of weight and a lot of torque you're putting on those joints when you got that much weight on you. So he may need to drop a few pounds.
Just to clear up what you were talking about earlier, he did make play in every game until that heel injury.
Right, right. Yeah. But how many games was
but
that?
That was 26.
Oh, so
26
okay, so he
games.
Played in 26
yeah.
games.
Okay.
Yeah. And then probably played
another.
And
then he missed like five.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So he probably played another five or six.
Right, okay. Well, you weren't that far off, 26.
Right, right.
But it was in the
20s. But he's three of them. When was that injury, Gavin?
February 20th.
Okay.
Okay, so three in the last, like, 9 months.
And so you thought it was a little earlier than it was, because you thought we're thinking January, that would have made sense, about 20 instead of 26. Right,
right, right. So, look, I like him. I love him. And I hope that this isn't anything really that keeps recurring, because you'd hate to see every few weeks, every couple months, you know, he's got knee soreness or something like that. We've seen careers obviously derailed by injuries, and you hope that's not the case with this guy.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This Sunday night, Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles, both teams 3-3, both teams coming off bad losses, both teams need it. Both teams underachieving, underperforming, not meeting expectations. Doug Peterson, the head coach for the Philadelphia Eagles, guarantees that they're going to win the game.
I don't think that was a real guarantee. He never used the term guarantee.
He never used the word guarantee.
He said we're going to win that game.
Do you think if he didn't guarantee it, then did he bounce back from it?
I've been around people when Rasheed Wallace guaranteed a playoff win against the Pacers, and we called it a guaranteed. But he said the word, "I guarantee you will beat them in game two." Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
He never used that word. He said they're going to win, Chris. I'm not, and I don't have a problem with a coach saying my team's going to win. Am I right?
It's different from when you say, "I guarantee."
Absolutely, right? It's a little different. Joe Namath guaranteed that the Jets would beat the Baltimore Colts. That was a guarantee.
Right.
Not just because you say you're going to win. I don't look at it that way. But anyway, the point.
Well, I tell you what, the Dallas Cowboys took it as a guarantee because DeMarcus Lawrence, if I can find the quote, see if you can find it for me, Gavin. DeMarcus Lawrence weighed in and he said that the Cowboys will definitely be ready for what the Eagles are bringing.
Right.
Because of what Doug Peterson
said.
Right.
And
so I love.
He said, "Tell him to come on. We ready. Can he play the game? He might want to shut his blank up and stay on the sideline. He can't play the game for them. The Eagles got to play them, and he's supposed to sit on the sideline and do whatever he wants to do. But he can't play the game for them, so we'll see."
Mm. So it's going to be a huge game, a great game.
It's a big game for the division. You know it, yes.
No doubt.
I mean, and if you're the Cowboys, to me, it would be devastating from this standpoint, Chris. Started out 3-0, and if you go back to when they played New Orleans, right? Cowboys, 3-0. They're playing New Orleans without Drew Brees. So you think to yourself, oh, dude, right? We got this. We'll be 4-0. The Eagles had to go to Green Bay and try to win, right? So you're looking going, well, if we win, we're 4-0. They're 1-3, right, when they lose at Green Bay. And you're in the driver's seat for that division. And look how much has changed since then. It's incredible.
Yeah, the only saving grace for the Cowboys is that Philadelphia hadn't been any better.
No. But I'm just saying they could have put
their – just as inconsistent.
I agree. But they could have snapped their necks is what I'm saying.
Right.
If they were 4-0.
Right.
And beat the Saints without Drew Brees. That's all
even
I'm saying.
Even if the Cowboys lose this game, they're not out of it because, you know, there'll be a game behind
it. It's
the
only
Eagles.
One game, right.
Right. So, but I hear where you're coming from. They blew, I don't know if blew an opportunity or just weren't good enough, but I would say they blew.
The only reason I say that is not beating New Orleans without Drew Brees at the time when they got it. Do you know
what
I mean?
But they're, 3-0?
Yeah.
Or is it 4-0 now without Brees?
Yeah, but I'm saying at the time, nobody knew. And remember, they didn't score a touchdown against the Cowboys and win that game. I'm just saying that lost opportunity.
Well, there's other stuff going on, too. And it came out today, an anonymous Eagles player said this. He criticized the offense and, to some degree, Carson Wentz. We need to make things simpler. Sometimes we need to just handle what is manageable. Even Peyton Manning knew when to check it down. Carson Wentz right now is 38% on passes that travel 15 air yards. Has 3 interceptions on passes like that, which is tied for most in the league. He also has 148 passes on those that are 10 yards or fewer. Right now, he has 9 touchdowns and 0 interceptions on passes like that. So I do think it is an apt point. That's the quote, Gavin, from the player?
Yes, that was the player. Yeah.
That is, you could probably narrow it down. What player talks like that? You hear what I'm saying, Rob?
Right, right.
All those statistics and stuff, all right, that's interesting. But anyway, Doug Peterson, the head coach, addressed it, said, I've seen the comments, check down, might not be there, a lot of factors, not on quarterback. You don't like to have anonymous guys. I'm not a smart guy, and I can figure out the offense. It's not that complicated. Rob, here's what I'm going to throw out. I mean, why do these quotes from the Philadelphia Eagles locker room keep coming out about Carson Wentz?
I don't understand it either.
Right?
It's a lot.
Last summer, in the offseason, it was, there's stories in the Philadelphia newspapers about, you know, players thinking he's arrogant and, you know, that, you know.
And then other guys came and backed him, and then he came out, remember, and said, yeah, I need to change a little bit. It's just been all over the place, and I'm not so sure. I mean, the guy who put that quote out, I mean, that's – I question you as a teammate.
Well, I talked to somebody in Philadelphia close to that team and he said that what he's told from players is that Carson, there's a little diva in him, and when players try to give him advice, veterans, he doesn't really want to hear it. You know, and he doesn't just say, oh, okay, all right, I got you, and not do it. He kind of like, I'm good, I know what I'm doing. You know, like that kind of thing, you know. And Nick Foles, you know, players like, he was a little more likable. And like you said in the story, not everybody dislikes Carson Wentz.
Right.
There are players that have his back, but there's a significant number that are apparently, they kind of not feeling him. And what it makes me wonder, Rob, because obviously he's got all the physical tools. He's athletic. He's big. He's strong. He can throw the ball. He can run. And I know you don't like this word, but I think it's very true. I wonder if he has the intangibles to lead a team to Super Bowls. We saw Nick Foles, who's not as good as Carson Wentz, lead that team to the Super Bowl, a championship, won the Super Bowl. We see Tom Brady, who's not Aaron Rodgers in terms of physical ability, win Super Bowls after Super Bowls, and most people, or a lot of people, think he's a GOAT. He's gifted, but largely because of the intangibles. You know, I think it's very important.
I'm not as big as you on that. I still believe I'd rather take a guy with talent.
But it's not either or. I'm not saying either or. I don't care how good of a leader you are, right, if you can't play.
And that was always my thing with Tim Tebow.
But Tebow couldn't play.
But people always talk about,
want somebody that can't play.
It doesn't matter if he throws for 80 yards. They always win when he plays.
He doesn't belong in this conversation, Rob. Saying. If you want to bring up a Dak even, because I've backed Dak. I love his intangibles. You want to bring him up, that's one thing. But guys that, I mean,
are Dak's intangibles working? Are they working this year?
Yeah, they've worked. I mean, they're 3-3. It's early. They're a little down,
but
they've worked in the past. Generally, they've worked. And so, but what do you, I question this about Carson Wentz when I've seen your backup come in and have more success than you.
Well, I don't know about that.
You don't know about him having more success.
No, I just saw a guy who, if he didn't get hurt, Chris, was going to win the MVP.
Who's had more success?
No, but I'm talking.
Who's led the Eagles to more success? Carson or Nick?
But I'm just talking about him as a player. He got
but
hurt.
But you're not denying that.
He won a Super Bowl. I can't take that away from him. He won a Super Bowl.
I just thought you were trying to say Nick Foles hadn't led them to more success.
No, but you can't tell me that if once in a lifetime was there and not him, that he
first
couldn't
of all,
have done
get
that.
Get rid of that nickname, because it ain't no once in a lifetime.
It is. It's once in
it
a lifetime. Wentzylvania.
It may be you mean that a great quarterback comes out of North Dakota? Once in a lifetime?
Once in a lifetime.
Yeah, that's about it. No, he was having a great year. But Rob, It's not just that year that Foles led them to the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, but they didn't win last year. They were struggling under wins.
Yeah, but Foles came in and turned them around immediately.
I'm not buying
him. And they played great.
I would take Carson Wentz
better. I'm just saying.
I would take Carson Wentz 10 times out of 10.
What's the problem? Is there another quarterback in the league?
Is there jealousy in the locker room?
We see even Aaron Rodgers, who's controversial. We don't see teammates anonymously calling him out. We saw ex-teammates after they left, but nobody in the locker room. I mean, Dak. Who else is controversial? Derek Carr. Well, like, you don't see it.
There's something else, and I don't know. I mean, you know that players also are jealous. There's all kinds of stuff. He got paid with coming off an injury.
But that's not unique. A lot of guys have gotten paid.
But I'm just saying, there's some other stuff that always goes in as well. I don't know, Chris, and I'm with you. I find it to be, if I was the coach and I could find out who that guy was, I'd have a problem with him being in my locker room. I just would. Because what he said is detrimental to the team.
But it's, again, this is, I mean,
I'm talking about here
coming out
during the year.
I feel you.
You know what I mean? Going into a big game? Really?
Yeah,
seriously.
It doesn't make sense.
That, Chris, that,
it's right.
Like, you're trying to sabotage the season to me by even making that a controversy or a story. Don't get me wrong, the reporter and me and you, we love it. I'm not
for us.
Okay, don't get me wrong now. I'm not.
And it's given us a topic today.
I've gotten plenty of players to tell me stuff when I was covering it as a beat writer.
Right.
And
that's what you
I knew do. It was the timing was wrong, but not for me.
That's true though. That's the truth.
I'm keeping it real. We both have been there.
Yep. Totally. But it's just interesting, and I don't know. It's time, Rob. Carson, whether you blame him or the teammates for saying it or whatever, he's got to start leading this team to some victories.
The last time they had their backs against the walls when they went to Green Bay with their season hanging in the balance, he threw 3 touchdowns. He didn't have a lot of yards. He played well, especially in the red zone, right? And they got a big road win to keep their jumpstart their season to keep it going. That's what I want to see out of Wentz. This is a big game. I would love to see him play well, win another big road game, one in Green Bay, one in Dallas, right? On a national stage. This is a moment for him. And maybe this turns around the Eagles. Maybe this propels them, Chris.
It might turn around one. Whichever team wins, it
could
turn around.
It could. Right. But I'm saying especially because, remember, Dallas is at home. But if you were to go to – if you were Philadelphia, you were to go there and then you take over the division lead, you win a big road game. It's a big win. It's a big – now, if they lose, it ain't the end of the world. You went to Dallas and you didn't win.
I don't think it's the end of the world for either team.
No, but I'm just saying, well, for Dallas, it would be 4 in a row, and that would be, what, another one at home.
Which would be tough.
I'm just saying, it wouldn't be the end-all, be-all.
Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.